Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we hear from the Lord Jesus Christ today that you are the farmer and we are the soils, and you want us to grow, to produce fruit for your kingdom. And so we pray that for your glory, for our salvation, for the salvation of the world, Lord, we pray that you would plant your word deeply in our hearts, that you will make our hearts as receptive and fertile soil for the word of God, and that you will enable me to proclaim that word faithfully and clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, as we return back to the Gospel of Matthew, beginning a new section, and particularly in chapter 13, a section with a number of parables that all are about the kingdom of God, about how it comes, how it grows, how it spreads, what a treasure it is for us, and so forth. Ultimately, the point is, what are we going to do with this kingdom, and how will we respond to that gospel of the kingdom? We'll read verses 1 to 23. Our sermon text will be the parable itself, 1 to 9, and the explanation in 18 to 23. That middle section, 10 to 17, we'll take that up next week. That's the question of why parables. First of all, then meditate on the parable of the sower itself. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we embark on this section of parables of the kingdom of God, we ask, first of all, well, what is a parable? A parable is a story based on everyday life. It's a story based on the creation and common everyday stuff that's told to teach a spiritual point. The intent of the Lord Jesus Christ is to take something from everyday life and then drive it home to make a spiritual comparison, a spiritual point in our lives. And here, this spiritual point is about the kingdom of God. More particularly, it's about your heart, my heart. What is my heart like? What kind of soil am I? Because the kingdom of God grows and takes root as the seed of the word is planted in the soil of our hearts, takes root, and then bears fruit. That's how the kingdom grows. Matthew connects this specifically with what has gone before. That seeming, you know, that apparently throwaway phrase, on the same day, chapter 13, verse 1, on the same day Jesus went out of the house. Well, that's Matthew saying, look backwards again. So what have we considered? What have we've been away from this for a couple of Sundays. Where have we just been with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he's been explaining, he's been talking about how his ministry, his preaching, it divides. There are those who hear and believe. And then there are those who do not believe, like the Pharisees and scribes who say, well, Jesus has a demon. The crowds, many of whom are amazed even, and their ears are tickled by Jesus' words, but they will not come to faith. It sort of bounces off of their hearts. So we have these two responses of faith and of unbelief. And the question is, why? What's going on? Well, it's the same gospel. It's the same word. It's the same Jesus Christ, the farmer, the sower, who's spreading that seed. He is like that farmer who goes out and in the ancient Near East, planting was not like so often it is today, where the seed is put very particularly in rows in the ground, but there it was pulled out of a bag and scattered everywhere. Well, he is that farmer casting the seed everywhere. He wants everyone to hear this. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is called. There is more than sufficient grace for all to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ is of infinite merits that all are offered that salvation. But only some respond in faith. Why is it? Well, Jesus says it's because of the soil upon which it falls. The first three soils, right? The hard pathway where everybody's been walking, where the seed doesn't even get in there and then birds come, swoop in and take it away. Or the thin ground that's on top of the rock where the seed springs up quickly, but because there's so little soil there, the roots can't go deep to find water. The sun comes, shrivels it up, and it's gone. Or the thorny, the weedy soil, where again that seed germinates and it springs up, but then the weeds choke it, overwhelm it, and it dies. Or the good soil, the seed falls in, and it grows and it produces much fruits. Jesus is that farmer. Our hearts are the soils. Those first three soils ultimately reveal that there's no real faith. Their heart is not good soil, and they fall away. The fourth soil, the good soil, those are the true sons of the kingdom. Those are the ones of whom Jesus has just said at the end of Matthew 12, here are my mother and my brother, my mothers and my brothers and my sisters, those who do the will of my Father. And what was the will of his Father? To believe in Jesus and to follow him. It all comes down to what kind of soil are we? That's his question. God is a farmer and he wants us to grow, as the Donut Man sings. For any of you who know the Donut Man, you'll understand that. If you don't, doesn't really matter. God is a farmer who wants us to grow. How will we grow? It's if our hearts are fertile ground. If our hearts are fertile ground, fertile soil for the Lord to plant his seed, the seed of his word, of the gospel, and for then that seed to grow. So what kind of soil are you? And how we respond to the word, how we respond even to the word this morning, says a lot about what kind of soil we are, what kind of soil our hearts are. And so we hear this morning that the Lord Jesus calls us to make our hearts good soil. Here will be our theme: receive the seed of God's word with the soil of good hearts. Receive the seed of God's word with the soil of good hearts. First of all, we'll look at the seed. Secondly, we'll look at the soils, the four different kinds of soils, and then finally, the sower. The point here is ultimately, what are we going to do about this? As we see what kind of seeds, what kind of soils we are, what kind of soil our heart is, ultimately, where do we need to go? We need to go to the sower himself, to Jesus Christ. Here's where he is pointing us. First of all, the seed. So here the sower is Jesus. He's casting the seed, and by extension, all who preach the gospel, the disciples whom he sends out to make disciples of all nations, or every preacher of the gospel. This is how God is sowing the seed of his kingdom. The seed is the word of the kingdom. It is the gospel, the good news, that God's gracious reign is breaking into this sin-stained and this Satan-ruled world with forgiveness, new life, restoration of all things. It's breaking in God's gracious reign. And it's not by soldiers, but it's by sowers. Christ does not advance his kingdom with a sledgehammer. Remember the prophet Elijah, when he became depressed and he met God at Mount Horeb, he was hoping for fireworks. He was hoping God to come with a hurricane, to come with lightning and with storm. And God said, you need to temper your expectations. My kingdom comes through the still, small voice of my word. What moves history towards God's wise end and to his good purposes is not the machinery of states and empires. It's not complex economies or conspiracy theories. It's not powerful global leaders or giant companies. What moves history ultimately towards God's good goals is God the farmer sowing the seed of his kingdom, the word. Sowing the seed in human hearts. What matters the most then is preaching the gospel, believing the gospel, living out the gospel and sharing it. This is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There are many other worthy labors, many other worthy causes that we can and ought to support. But proclaiming and living the gospel must always be central, must always be number one for God's church and God's people. This is how his kingdom grows. So that, first of all, the seed. The seed is what? It is the word of God, specifically the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. And that call to come to Jesus Christ. The gospel is Christ's death and resurrection, and the gospel comes with a call to come. Come and be saved and find forgiveness and new life and eternal life in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Secondly, the soils. The first three soils represent hearts that do not, in the long run, benefit from hearing God's word. The hardened path, the thin soil, the weedy soil. Let's look at these soils and ask ourselves, what kind of soil is my heart? Well, first there is the hardened path. Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So that pathway, that hardened walked over pathway is so hard. The seed, yes, maybe it leaves a little impression, but it doesn't go in. It does not enter into that soil truly, but it remains lying on the surface, and just long enough for crows to come along or birds to come along, swoop down and eat it up. They never really hear it. Yes, it falls on their ears, but before it can get to their hearts, the devil takes it away. They remain spectators, looking, standing afar off, hearing about Jesus. Maybe even sitting in church Sunday after Sunday and hearing that sermon, but it's never really for them. And it never really penetrates their hearts. Their hearts are so hardened and calloused, it can't get in. They're deaf listeners. J.C. Ryle says, wandering thoughts, roving imaginations, listless minds and dull memories, sleepy eyes and fidgety nerves, weary ears and distracted attention. In all these things, Satan has a great hand. Right? When we gather for worship, Satan is here with us. Satan is sitting in the pew alongside of us. This is a battleground. He knows it. He knows how God builds his kingdom, and he is waiting for that opportunity to take it away from you. It's a battleground. It's a battleground for all of us. I know what it's like to sit in the pew. Not very often anymore, but I know what it's like. Before I became a pastor, I sat through many services. I know how easy it is to fall asleep, to get distracted, to come unprepared. And the Lord Jesus is reminding us, this is so important. We can't come with unprepared hearts. We can't afford to fall asleep. We simply can't. So take notes if you need to. Stand up and walk around if you need to, preferably in the back. But if you find yourself falling asleep, eat candies, get up, walk around. Far better that you do that than fall asleep. I need to hear this. You need to hear this. We all to remember the importance of this and what Satan so desperately wants to do to take it away before it can reach our hearts. Or then there is the shallow, rocky soil. He who received, verse 20 and 21, he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So there's an enthusiasm. Think of all those, you know, those responses of, those emotional responses of, yes, oh, what a sermon, what a preacher. Of all of those grand promises to do great things, those resolutions to be a different person, right? That joy that immediately springs up, great enthusiasm, tears maybe it is, tears of passion, of well, this, you know, this is totally rocking my life and I need to be a new person. Yet, verse 21, he has no root in himself but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. As soon as trouble or persecution comes, a crisis of faith. Following Jesus, for some, is just one stop on a journey of many different attempts to try to find happiness or stability. It's temporary faith. How do you respond when the sorrows, the darkness, the struggle with sin, with the wilderness comes? Because Christ does bring us through those times. This is a warning every believer needs to hear. Will we be the ones to persevere? Well, then we need to hear this warning. There will be those times when we're like, well, is this really what Jesus saved me for? Why would he bring this crisis into my life? And so when you see that through those times of crisis, the Lord Jesus holds you, and you emerge from that, maybe beaten up, but still clinging to him, take heart. This is good news. But be prepared for those times to come. If we seek Jesus Christ in order to attain something else, the thing we really want, then we're not really rooted in Jesus. And when the time comes that he takes those things away, the comfort that we wanted, maybe, or the stability in life, or we thought this is going to be easy and this is going to make us feel happy all the time, and then we find we're not, and our feelings be, you know, and we find, well, my feelings just, this is not what I expected. If we're not rooted in Christ, then we will fade away. But if in Jesus, if we're rooted in him, then he'll enable us to weather those storms and emerge on the other side, built up and strengthened and reminded, yes, it is Christ who ultimately is my rock and my refuge. Then there is the third soil. These are the choked, or we might say the distracted listeners. Verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we hear the word comes in one ear, but in the other ear is all of the stuff: business, work, pleasure, vacations, cars, toys, houses, all of our responsibilities is filling the other ear. And then we come, you know, on Sunday, it's like, yes, this is what I need. And then we enter into Monday, and it seems like the word of God just leaves us, and everything else crowds it out. There's a competition going on. The word of God in one ear and the cares of the world in the other. And it doesn't mean that those cares of the world are wrong in and of themselves. Work and business and pleasure and vacations. These are gifts from the Lord, and we are called to be busy in the world. But we need to be aware of worldliness, where the spirit of the world, where the things of the world crowd out our time with God, crowd out the word so that we've heard it on Sunday, but then we promptly forget it and move on. One of the ways that easily happens is if we neglect meditating on that word through the week, if we neglect reading the word at all during the week. Very easily then, the word preached on Sunday kind of evaporates and worldliness takes over. It's a divided heart, a double mind. What is needed is active weeding, pulling out those sins in our lives, putting the word into practice. That we do go from here today asking that question, so what's going to change in my life? Tomorrow, this week. So there is the hardened listener. The word just bounces off and the devil takes it away. There is the shallow listener. It springs up, that soil, just for a little while, but then it's the troubles and crises of life destroy that faith and they fall away. Then there is the distracted, the one distracted by worldliness, where that faith or that plant springs up, but then the weeds choke it and he or she falls away. And what emerges is that soil was never truly fertile to begin with. It was never a true faith, actually, because it wasn't really rooted in Jesus Christ. But then there's the good soil. He who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, right? That is, seeks after it. That is, grasps it, perceives the importance of it. Who indeed hears, or who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We can add to that, some 10, some 5. The question is the word of God taking root in your hearts? How can you know? Well, is it producing fruit? God gives faith and assurance and fruitfulness in different degrees. We don't all attain to the same degree of holiness in this life. That's just the way it is. But the question is, what is the trajectory of your life? Even if it's like this, is it a life bearing fruit fivefold even? Now, if we're honest with ourselves, if we are honest, we'll admit that the first three kinds of soil often best describe our hearts. We can't ignore that. We can't just say, well, I am only ever one kind of soil. If we are good soil, we will still, because we are sinners, we will still see those other three show up in our hearts. If not from time to time, then quite often. If we are honest, we will respond by admitting that the first three kinds of soil often best describe our hearts. And we are condemned. What should we do? We need to go to the sower. Remember, it's Jesus who's telling us this parable. And he is the creator of the world who made our hearts. And we, by our own folly, in Adam, we fall into sin and rebelliousness and hardness. And he is the one who holds our hearts in his hands, and he himself is the one who can give us that new heart. He is looking for a harvest. He's looking for a yield. And the question is, which soil are you? Are you yielding fruit? And perhaps many of you hearing this are saying, well, I think I might be that hard soil. Take comfort. If you're asking that question, if you're laying that accusation at your door, guess what? You're hearing. And that's exactly what Jesus wants you to do, to hear and ask. You are heeding. You are opening your heart to the sower's purpose. That's why he's speaking to you this morning. Jesus is the sower, and this parable is meant for you to ask that question. That means you're not the pathway, because you're hearing that word. If, however, you're like, well, when is this thing going to be over? And you're distracted, not listening, and Sunday by Sunday it's just whatever. Then you're in trouble of being that hardened pathway. But again, the answer is the same. You need the sower. Do you want that softened heart? He gives it. He promises to. But if, you know, there are other times, yes, I come to church and I do hear. And take heart again. You are hearing. You do understand. We fail. We falter. If you can say in your life that though you fail, yet you do. Over the course of your life, you do hear the word of God. And you long for growth in that. Take heart, you're not the pathway. Perhaps you're thinking, yes, but am I the superficial, the shallow one? Am I going to persevere? Well, that too is a good sign. You're asking that question. It's what Jesus wants you to do. Not to in self-confidence say, oh yeah, you know, I know that I'm strong enough for this. But to say, no, I'm actually not. Lord Jesus, examine my heart. Lord, who is really my rock here? Who do I really want? What do I really want? Or what if you're the distracted? What about the distracted listener? Where the cares of this world, sins that you struggle with, crowding out the word of God in your heart? Well, let me ask you another question. If Jesus, and he does, and he says to you, he asks you like he asked Peter, do you love me? What is your answer to that, truly? Is it, yes, Lord, you know that I love you? Take heart. This soil does not ultimately define who you are. Yes, you see aspects of it in your life. But if that is your answer, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. That is good fruit that can only be because you are, at the end of the day, the good soil. But wherever we are at, again, if we're honest, we'll admit that the first three kinds of soil often best describe our hearts. We are condemned. What do we do? Well, like the Jesus' disciples, who didn't understand everything but wanted to understand, who at times had hard hearts but wanted softened hearts, where did they go? They went to Jesus Christ in order to understand. They wanted to know more. They wanted to know the meaning of his parables. The true disciples of Christ will exhibit signs of the first three soils. But ultimately, what is the direction of their lives, of your life? If you belong to Jesus Christ, you will bring your sins and shortcomings, your doubts and your distractions, your failures and your fears, you will bring those to him. You come to the sower, the one who restores and renews a hard, stony, distracted heart. This is true for unbelievers as well. If that is the category in which you fall today, perhaps. The same call, come to the sower. Do you want that new heart? Do you want to be good soil? If you want to be good soil, he alone can make the soil of your heart fertile. We all by nature are hardened, rebellious sinners. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and we will never hear the word of God to our benefit unless Jesus by his Spirit comes along and gives us a new heart. He is the sower. Remember, our hearts are in his hand. And he's asking us today, do you want to grow? Do you want my kingdom? Then come to me. Slowly or quickly, the fruit will grow. The hardness of your heart may take a whole lifetime to soften, but it will soften. The shallowness of faith, you know, the fits and starts, the ups and downs. Sometimes we feel like that second soil, constantly starting over. Well, this good news, Jesus Christ is the King of new beginnings. The question is, are you coming to him? Over the course of many years, can you say that the one constant is still, it is Jesus to whom I turn? You struggle with besetting sins that rage fiercely in your heart. You don't make as much progress in holiness as others. But is the struggle real? Is the sorrow genuine? Is your progress still visible? Can you look back and say, thus far the Lord has led me, and he has held me, and still today I confess his name. Again, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 30, 60, or 100-fold, you see that fruit, take heart. Take heart, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sower who created your hearts, who holds your heart, who is king of your heart, he promises to hear, to receive, and to save all those who call upon him in faith. Psalm 51. What does David say when Nathan, the prophet, comes to him with a parable? And the punchline is, David, that's you. And when Jesus says to us today in this parable, and we say, boy, that's me. Up and down, I see myself in this. Well, we respond as David responds, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Ask for open ears. Ask for an open heart. Pray for seriousness of faith and spiritual courage. Pray for holy affections to drive out a worldly spirit. And give thanks for fruit, for growth. God is the farmer. He gives the growth. He makes you good soil. Ask him to direct your faith into avenues of service for him. Amen. Shall we pray?